In Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, we'll be looking at in his name. We have not even read where we took that phrase from. All right. Luke chapter 24, which is where we took the phrase from, really. Luke chapter 24, I'm going to read from verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, and that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then open ye their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Go with me to the book of Acts so we see what Luke is talking about. What does it mean by open ye their understanding that may understand the scriptures? Because when you're reading, Luke is summarizing an event that took place over a period of time. That's what Luke is summarizing. So we are reading Luke, you read it, you read book of Acts as a companion to understand what Luke is talking about. In Luke chapter 1, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he has chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, that is after his resurrection, all right? So, after by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. The things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So, how many days? 40 days. So, what we find in the book of Luke 24 is a summary of the 40-day ministry of Jesus after he rose from the dead, as he was teaching those who will be saddled with the responsibility of preaching the gospel in his name. So, when you're reading verse 44, if you read the preceding verses, remember we have already looked at the fact that he saw two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and he accompanied with them and journeyed with them. And by verse 25, he spoke to them and said that, all fools are slower to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not that Christ should have suffered these things and entered into his glory? And the Bible says, I'm beginning. All right, so I'm beginning at Moses. And all the prophets he expounded. That word means to interpret across board. Interpreted unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Hallelujah. Now, why was Jesus doing that? Now, remember, they did not recognize it was Jesus. So, even in resurrection, Jesus still follows the pattern. What pattern? Faith comes by hearing. That's important. Faith comes by hearing. Now, a few verses after, you will notice that the conversation went on for a long time, because when you hear, I'm beginning at Moses and all the prophets, you know how long it will take for somebody to teach and to interpret scriptures beginning at Moses. To begin at Moses means starting from Genesis. So it will start from Genesis chapter 1. It will show them that in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. All right? And that the heart was dark from and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved over the face of waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. He will tell them, I'm that light that God spoke forth. So he begins to explain to them in the garden. Okay, in chapter 2 also, he will tell them how he was in the garden with Adam and Eve. So, beginning at Moses and all the prophets and the Psalms. So, across all those scriptures, he expounded, that is to interpret. Now, in other words, Jesus is revealing who he is to these disciples through the authority of the scriptures. Now, let's read from verse 28. Look at what happened. We're going to read very quickly because this is not where we're going. And they drew now to the village and whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is fast spent. And he went in to tarry with them. They should have suspected. What will have aroused suspicion? The way he taught the scriptures. It was unlike the scribes. There was an accuracy, a precision about his interpretation that should have actually steered something on the inside of them. But let's read further. Look at what happened. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, and he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. So they recognized. So their eyes were opened will imply that they spiritually recognized him. Now, was Jesus the same person that died that rose? Yes. What was the difference? It was in his appearance. It was in that glorified form. Now, he wanted them to recognize him, not just by seeing him physically, even though the physical eyewitness was important. Faith will not come by the physical eyewitness. Faith will come by the Spirit's witness, which is the revelation of the scriptures in their heart. So, let's read any further. Let's read further. I'm going to jump now because of our time. Verse 33. Look at verse 33. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scripture? So something was happening on the inside. Understanding began to dawn as we began to teach the scriptures. And they rose up the same hour. These are people who said they were tired. They were supposed to retire for the night. So they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them. So the 11 and other disciples gathered together, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon, and they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking what? Of bread. Now look at the next verse. And as they thus speak, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them. Now, this is a figure of speech for wherever Jesus is being discussed is present. Hallelujah. Wherever Jesus is being discussed is what? Present. In Malachi chapter 4, it says that, and they that taught often the name of the Lord, they speak one to another, and the Lord hearkened, and the book of remembrance was opened unto them. So wherever he is being discussed, his presence is there. So while they were still speaking, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them. Okay? That means he appeared. Now, was he there when they were speaking? Yes. Did they see him? No. To appear means it became visible for them to see. Hallelujah. So, peace be unto you, but they were terrified and affrighted, and suppose that they are seeing a spirit because of the way he appeared. Now, among the disciples that saw him, the two that had initially seen him would not have been frightened because they had seen him and he had vanished. And they knew him because they recognized he was the one, so they knew he was not a ghost because he had broken bread and eaten with them. Now look at the next thing. And he said unto them, why are you troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Undo me and see, for a spirit has not flesh and bones as you see me have. Notice that flesh and bones, not flesh and blood. He didn't have blood again, but he had flesh and bone. Now, when they had not spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have you here any meat? So, even besides all this drama, verse 42 says, and they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of an honeycomb, and he took it and ate it before them. You know, he said, have you any meat? Why did they want to eat? Just to prove to them that his flesh had blown. If you had been to say, master, I know, that's not necessary now. We're already convinced. We know it's you. But instead of that, they said, it's more, just eat more. Let's see, let's be very sure. Eat. Because ghosts cannot eat fish and bread. Just eat a little, just for us to be convinced. Is he going in? They're watching him. What does that mean? They had not believed. They said they had not believed. So look at what happened in verse 44. And he said unto them, while they were eating. Alright? He says, these are the words which I speak unto you while I was yet with you. So this my appearance, this format in which I've come, this resurrection is a fulfillment of the things which I spoke unto you. Those things were written in law of Moses, in the prophets, and the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their what? Understanding. Now, if you read that in English, it looks as though he just gave them comprehension. It's beyond that. Because these are the words which I speak unto you is the explanation of 40 days of teaching. That means over 40 days, he began to teach, began to explain from the scriptures what was Jesus pursuing, that faith should arise by their hearing of the scriptures. So he was teaching. So when you hear it in verse 45, then openly their understanding, that is a conclusion of several days of teaching. The result of this was that their understanding what opened up. In the Greek, that's what dianogo. That means for the very first time. For the very first time, on the inside, they came alive. With revelation of the truth. That's when they became born again. Faith arose. Faith in what? Is resurrection. What was he showing them from the scriptures? The things that are fulfilled. What was meant to be fulfilled? That Christ would die and on the third day he will rise again. So, go back to verse 25. So notice that was close to the same thing he spoke to disciples in verse 25. Then he said unto them, O full slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Verse 26. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory. What is his glory? Resurrection. 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 His glory is his resurrection. And resurrection means he will now live on in the hearts of men. He lives in me today. He lives in me today. I said he lives in me today. Does he live in you today? That is his glory. That God should live in you in the resurrection of Jesus. That is the glory of God. That also is his name. That is his name. So, notice in verse 45 again. Look at verse 45 again. The reason why I wanted us to read Luke is because when you're reading Mark, Mark does not go into these details. So Luke will say then, openly understand them, I understand the scripture that is to put together. Now look at John's gospel and chapter 20. John's gospel. John, in explaining this, I read from verse 19. John chapter 20 verse 19. See what it says. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. That sounds like what we read in Luke, isn't it? Luke said, while they were still discussing, he appeared in their midst. So this is John's testimony. Look at the way John says it. When you put the thoughts together, you have a clear picture. Look at verse 21. Also, verse 20. When he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. The word show doesn't just mean I just open like this. It actually means to unclothe, to uncover yourself. Almost to see yourself naked so that there will be full proof. In other words, when he was hanging on the tree, he was literally naked. So the hole in his side, the hole in his palms, the hole in his feet. So to show them actually means he unclothed himself so that they will see all the evidence and proof that he's the same person standing before them. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I what? Question, what is the sending he's talking about? Is he talking about his incarnation or resurrection? Resurrection. The Father has sent me. I'm sending you in that strength now. Now look at the next verse. He says, when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. The way John puts it, if you don't understand what the word breathe means, it doesn't mean you blew. You can minister that way. It's okay. There's nothing wrong. Sometimes you let you minister that way. But that's not what Jesus did there. The word breathe in the Greek is the word enphusal. It means to cause life to spring up within someone. It means to resuscitate. Interestingly, in the Hebrew, the closest word is what you find in Ezekiel 37, when Ezekiel was taken in the vision, in the spirit, and he saw a valley full of dry bones. How many of us remember that vision? And God said, prophesy, son of man, that these bones should live. And I prophesied, and bread came into their bodies. That word bread, that's exactly the same thing. In other words, to the preaching of the gospel, those who are dead will come alive. That's what the vision of Ezekiel is about. To the preaching of the gospel, which is what prophesy, those who are dead will come back to life. So the disciples who were spiritually dead, they came back to, or they came alive as Jesus taught them the scriptures. That's what it means to breathe. That means to cause life to come up on the inside of them. How did he do that? In 40 days of teaching his word. Hallelujah. So when Luke will say, then opened in their understanding, John will say, he breathed on them. Something he couldn't do until he rose from the dead. Hallelujah. So this is talking about when they became saved. Then look at the next thing it says. It says, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now, he's not talking about the same thing. He breathed on them, they became saved. Now it says, receive on lambano. That is, lay hold of the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are what? Remitted unto them. And whosoever you retain, they are what? Retained. If you're reading a good King James, I'm going to show you something in King James. The words that italicize matter. When he says, verse 23, whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever retain, they are retained. The word sins now italicized. So it's not talking about sin again. It's simply saying those who are saved or who believe, they are saved. And those who believe not, they are what? They are damned. That's the language that was used. It doesn't mean you have the power. The power to retain sins, missing beings, or to forgive sins is the power to preach the gospel. Say amen. So receiving the Holy Ghost simply means take that authority and take power of the Spirit and preach. And in your preaching, men's sins will be retained and they will forgive him. That's what he's talking about. Glory to God. All right. So go back to Luke now. Luke 24 again. In Luke 24, and we go back to verse 46. And he said unto them, thus it is written, thus it behove Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead. Who is speaking? Jesus. Who is the Christ? Jesus. Why is he speaking in the third person? He's explaining from scriptures. Hallelujah. You know, when he says, I'm beginning at Moses, Moses never mentioned Jesus. Moses prophesied concerning Jesus, but the name Jesus you won't find anywhere there. So it was called the Christ. That is the promised Messiah. So in verse 46, he's still explaining. One of the things he told them was that now that they were saved, now that he had caused their understanding to be enlightened and they were now saved, the next thing he gave to them was the work of the ministry. That's what he's doing. The work of the ministry. So verse 46 again. And he said unto them, thus it is written, thus it behoved Christ to suffer, notice, and to rise from the dead the third day. And what is the implication of that resurrection? Verse 47, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. In his name. Which name? The name of the Christ that was born in Jerusalem, or the one that rose from the dead? I didn't hear you. The one that rose from the dead. So that gives you a distinction in the authority and the office of his name. There's incarnation. It's an office. His name in incarnation is different. He was called the anointed one. We saw that yesterday also, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. That is Jesus of Nazareth. Incarnation. God with us. Hallelujah. God with us. That was the status and the standing that he had. Why could they heal the sick and cast out devils? Because they saw him heal the sick and cast out devils. Why was he able to do so? God anointed him to do so. So as God in the flesh, he had the authority and the right to do so. So when he sent him to go preach the gospel, the authority they had was to cast out devils and to heal the sick. It was delegated authority. They could do it in his name. Our disciples were excited when they noticed that even demons were responding in his name. They didn't understand. They were really excited. Even the demons are subject to us through your name. Which name? The name of the anointed one. In where you are, Jesus was around where there was demonic activity. Many times demons would cry out. We know that he, who thou art. Thou art the Christ, the Holy Son of God. They knew who he was. Demons knew who he was. That was Jesus in the four gospels. That was earthly ministry. That was the first phase of the ministry. He was called the anointed one. His name was limited in authority, even though he had authority. And to show that the scope was limited, he commanded them, we saw it in Matthew yesterday, he said, go not the way of the Gentiles, go only to the lost sheep of what? The house of Israel. Why? He was functioning as a shepherd of Israel at that point in time. So the scope of the authority was limited to that. So when he was telling them in Luke chapter 24, from verse 47, it says that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among God nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and you are witnesses of these things. What kind of witness? First of all, high witness. Secondly, spirit witness. Now, they had been witness of his earthly ministry. Go back to Matthew. Matthew Gospel and chapter 16. And verse 13. Again, let's look at that. Matthew 16, verse 13. It says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked disciples saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And he said, some say that John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others, Jeremiah, and one other prophets. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said unto me, said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Or today we will say, read the Gospels, the only begotten. His earthly ministry. It was Christ, Son of the living God, the one that was promised in the scriptures. Where was he promised? We saw again in Isaiah chapter 7. Look at Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah's prophecy in verse 14 of chapter 7. Look at what Isaiah said. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name what? Emmanuel, which is God where? With us. So we said that means God will be numbered. He'll become a man. He'll be numbered. If we're taking census, he'll be counted. Coming from a particular jurisdiction in the nation of Israel, he'll be counted as one of us. He is called the only begotten. Remember, the Bible says in John chapter 1 verse 14, and the word became flesh, and what? Dwelt among us. I will behold his glory. The glory has already begun to Father, full of grace, and that grace is the truth. So he was called the only begotten. The same John's Gospel chapter 1 verse 18, no man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son, who is where? In the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. That was his office in his earthly ministry. The same John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but shall have what? Everlasting life. So he was called the only begotten in his earthly ministry. But notice the way he answered Peter. After Peter declared, you are Christ, son of the living God. Look at Jesus' response. And Jesus answered and said, verse 17, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father, which is where? In heaven. Now, he's going to extend the revelation now, because of what you have said. Yes, I'm Christ, son of the living God, but the other aspect is this, as Christ, to fulfill that ministry, I say also unto thee, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not what? Prevail. What's the rock? The revelation. So in saying, I will build my church, he already tells you, I'll pioneer something. I'll start a new generation. Not as the only begotten. No. It will be a different office. The scope of his authority, limited to the nation of Israel. But the scope of the authority now, I will build my church. The gates of hell means I will have a confrontation with the powers of darkness. And I will build my church. How will you build? In his resurrection. And the gates of hell, the authority of darkness, will not stop it from manifesting, or they will not prevent the resurrection from taking place. And look at the next thing he says. He says, verse 19, and I will give unto you, not I give unto you, I will. It hasn't happened yet. It's going to happen. So when I build my church, when I call men out of darkness, because I have come out of the wombs of death and out of the womb of hell, I will call men out of darkness into light. When I call men, I will give unto them the keys of the kingdom. A better phrase is that the resources of the kingdom. Hallelujah. The resources of the kingdom. I will give unto you the keys. Now, because people have said keys of the kingdom, they thought about many, many keys. The word key, actually the same word as access. I will give unto you the resources of the kingdom. And what will happen when that takes place? Whatsoever you shall bind where? On earth. Where will you bind it? Where will you bind it? Whatever you bind where? So where is the kingdom of God? In heaven or on earth? Where is the kingdom of God? In heaven or on earth? It's on earth. Now, I will bring the kingdom to you. I will call you out of darkness into light. But you'll still be here on earth. Now, when that kingdom is functioning, whatever you bind while you are here on earth, it will be you operating from the heavenlies, even though you are here on earth. That's the resurrection. So there are two prophecies in Isaiah. Isaiah 7 verse 14, then Isaiah chapter 9. Look at Isaiah 9 from verse 6. The second prophecy is talking about the resurrection. Isaiah 9 verse 6, see what it says. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. When you hear the word shoulder, it means the one that will carry a burden. The authority will rest upon his shoulder. He's the one that will bear the burden of bringing into existence. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The word name here means fame. That's what the word name there means. It means his fame. In his fame, he be regarded as a Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. And that's why some people have said that Jesus himself is also God the Father. That's not possible. No. The word Father here is the word Founder. It means the pioneer. It means the one who starts something. Not the one who begets, the one who starts something. You can say it this way, the one who brings men into a new experience. So he's a founder, the pioneer of a new beginning. That's the word, the everlasting power. So it means what is going to start and initiate will be everlasting. Hallelujah. So the everlasting father actually means everlasting pioneer or founder. What is about to launch and initiate, it will be forever. In that sense, the Prince of Peace, or the champion of our peace. Glory to God forevermore. So that's what it means. And he couldn't do that until he rose from the dead. So remember, incarnation, only begotten. Resurrection, the firstborn from the dead. So if he's only begotten, you and I can come from where he came from in his incarnation. But we have come from where he came from, his resurrection. Can you see the difference? Nobody could come from where Jesus came from. Uniquely born, only begotten in his incarnation. But you and I have come from where he came from, where? In his resurrection. Hallelujah. That is his name. Everlasting Founder. the pioneer, the champion, the one who authored our salvation. That was what he was talking about in Matthew chapter 16. When he said, I say also unto you, or to heart what you have said, you are Peter. Upon this rock, this revelation, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail, and I will give you, in that resurrection, the resources of the kingdom. Say, I have the resources of the kingdom. When I bind on earth, the effect is taking place. The effect is seen in realm of the spirit. Hallelujah. You know, we used to sing a song back then, but a popular song is not so popular again, which is good, because that was limited knowledge that we had back then. We used to sing a song, I'm going up to the high places. We knew that it was a demotion, because we're already up. We're not going. It is people who are yet to be saved that should go up to the high places. And who thought high places, you won't know the kind of things people have done doctrinally. You are just blessed. If you started off from the right teaching, God had just blessed you. You just don't know how much God has blessed you. People used to rent planes in the early 90s to go and deal with demons. You hear what I said? They would charter a plane. Intercessors would load themselves into a plane. They would not fly to the clouds and be dealing with demons, thinking that's where they are. You see, you are saying, wow. You don't know the effect of sound doctrine. Now, where you are starting from is good. Those ones are even good. I mean, people who are using broom to beat something. Some are using stick. Even the act of using stick to beat the devil is comic to the devil. It's actually comic. Because after a while, your hand will be paining you. You are beating someone you cannot see. And it's a spirit being. And you think your king will reach him. It doesn't make any sense. Bible says we have had fathers of our flesh who chastise us for their own pleasure. Shall we no more be in so great father of spirits that we may want to live? The father of spirits, how does he chastise us? With his word. You want to deal with devil and you are using king. You don't know only the word. Jesus, the devil came tempting Jesus and Jesus said, it is written. But you are holding king. How foolish thou art. I said that in King James so I can sound holy. And he told you. That's why, see, just think a little bit. It doesn't take a great revelation. Bible says concerning you, but you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Isn't it? Is that what it says? 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 11. But you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name and by what? So, if you are, say I'm washed by the blood and Jesus did not use liquid. Somebody now told you that the problem in your family, you need to bathe by the river. You now think a natural river will wash away the spiritual problem. You know you have a problem already. That you believe this is a sign why the problem will persist. No, just think about it. A physical river will wash away something spiritual. When what was used to wash you clean was not natural but spiritual. The blood of Jesus. Have you ever seen the blood of Jesus before? And they gave you candle and sponge and you went to the river. It was when you got to the river that the affliction came, not before. Because you just admitted that you are not clean. And Jesus said, you are every whit clean. You are made whole. You are cleansed by the words I've spoken unto you. Glory to God. Oh, the effect of sound doctrine is priceless. It's priceless. There's a difference between the word of God and Africanism. A lot of people are doing what's called Africanism. Light this candle. Make sure it doesn't go out. If it goes out, your glory is gone. You are already in trouble. They have attached your glory to candle. Your glory is in the heavens. His name is Jesus. Is it not so? Why are you making life difficult for yourself? He made it easy. Why complicate matters? Why are you complicating matters? Say, I trust in the Lord. And I rest in the power of his might. That's the truth of the scriptures. Glory to God forevermore. You need to memorize the scripture very well. Whenever they ask you to come for foot washing or river bathing, he says you are washed. Say, I'm washed. The one that washed me, he washed me clean. I'm completely clean. It doesn't matter the way I feel. All people say, what they say they see, I'm already washed clean. Hallelujah. His name is more than enough. His name is more than enough. Glory to God. His name is more than enough for me to wash me clean. I've been washed clean by the blood of Jesus. Acts chapter 13. So, the firstborn from the dead. Acts 13 verse 32. Look at the gospel that Paul preached. I will declare unto you glad tidings. How that the promise was made unto the fathers. Yes. God has fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he has raised up Jesus again. Has also written the second time, thou art my son, this day have I what? Begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said of this wise, and I will give you the sure message of David. Next verse. Wherefore, he said also in another psalm, that shall not suffer, you only want to see corruption. For David, after he served in his own generation by the will of God, fell on asleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Verse 18, being known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, that is in his name, he preached unto you what? The forgiveness of sins. What did they preach in the four gospels? Not forgiveness of sins. What did they preach? The kingdom of God is near unto you. They couldn't preach forgiveness of sins, but in his name, that is through this man, he's preached unto you complete remission, complete wiping out and blotting out of your sins, or resurrection life, or the new creation. He's been preaching his name. So his name means new life. His name means new beginning. So here, in his name, you can say in his reputation. What's his reputation again? Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Hallelujah. That's why if you need to pause and meditate before you use his name, I advise you to do so. For every time you use the name of Jesus and you don't get results, something on the inside of you is disappointed. Think about it. You will not use it in a frivolous way. You use it with clarity and understanding. You want to use something that you know works. So you are deliberate about the usage of the name. And therefore you will not mention the name casually. You use it as an exclamation mark. You know the gravity of the name. In that name, the pioneer, the champion of our salvation, that is the name of Jesus. Oh, I love the CSA fathers. Even till now, some of the pioneers, they will still say, Jesu Agbarawa. What a strong confession. You know what that means? Jesu Agbarawa. In studying some of the prophets back in those days when I used to watch them closely, I noticed that when they want to begin to minister, the things of the Spirit, they will say, Nyuruko Jesu. Jesus. When they say that, it's like they just open the door. They begin to see supernaturally. And then utterance begins to cover. So they actually use it as a key. You know why it's working? Because they don't take the name lightly. They don't. They know what it means. It's like a will valve. It's like something that opens a door that no man can shut. So they use it deliberately and consciously, not casually. And then the miraculous begins to break forth. You go to them and you want to talk about the particular issue. They say, let us pray. They say, in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then they begin to see. Somebody says, why? Because they've opened up the portal, so to speak. Permit me to use that word. Not the way they're using it again, but permit me to use that phrase now. Now, they've opened up the things of the Spirit. That means in the name of Jesus, even when you feel dull and dry, and you sense nothing spiritual about you, even though you're not in the flesh but in the Spirit, in the name there can be a quickening. In the name there can be an awareness and a consciousness. In the name you can stand to prophesy. Hallelujah. You can. You can. You can. And this has no respect for distance. Over the telephone they will call and say, in the name of Jesus, whatever is holding you bound, I command you to be loosed. They're not counting on their own integrity. They're counting on what that name means and how it resonates in the realm of the Spirit. And in the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of beings on earth, and of beings where? Under the earth. Of beings under the earth. So when you say you are using it, and listen, that you use it doesn't work, doesn't mean it doesn't work. It's because of the way you used it, and because of your understanding of the name. Don't let them want to deceive you and say that once you just mention Jesus, demons will just fall. It's not true. You've seen those films before. That they were having a meeting. It's always under this. I don't know why. And then somebody just made a mistake and just mentioned Jesus. And then the person that was sitting on the throne just fell down. Don't say that name. Don't say that name. It's not true. No, it's agreed. Somebody says, ask my pastor, how do you know? Listen, the seven sons of who were into exorcism. You know what exorcism means? They took it upon themselves. They said that in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches. What does that mean? We don't have identity. But Paul used to preach in that name. Now, if they used it, and demons just for whenever they heard the name, you know what the demon said? He had enough time to answer them. Jesus, I know. Paul, I recognize. But who are you? And demon beat seven of them. He beat, they ran out shirtless and toothless. What does that mean? They went out naked. They were clothed when they came. They were naked when they went out. Guess what? News spread. And name of Jesus for the soul that glorified. What does that tell you? Just saying the name is not where the power is. It's not the pronunciation. It's not the way in the matchless, in the majestic, in the glorious. That's not. It's a name that does not require adjectives. It's an adjective and a verb at the same time. So in the glorious, in the matchless, in the majestic, in the wonderful, is good for you. But wonderful, majestic, mighty, they are all in the name itself. So in the name is a consciousness you have when you know the weight of that name. Listen, let me give you an illustration. Have you been to the bank before to cash an amount of money you have never cashed before? Amount of money your account has never received before? I think in Nigeria today, the way they are dealing with cyber crimes, they will call you from the bank. There's an alert in your account to the tune of 50 million. You want to be sure, are you aware? Now, like somebody who they mistakenly transfer some money into his account, and they saw the alert and the balance. The first thing he was there, he surreptitiously went to the ATM. He put inside. The money came out. He checked the balance. It was depleting. So the money is actually in the account. That means the alert on the phone was not enough to convince. Let me check. He collected. So he collected like 1 million. He was waiting to be arrested because nobody called him. You know why? He doesn't have boldness. Because the money is not his. You see, when he went to the bank, he was waiting there. Now, when he wants to just say, they'll just grab him. I'm waiting for you. Now, there's a way you go to the bank and the counter, if you're using a check, that when you're writing the zero, your hand will not shake if the money is yours. If you understand what I'm trying to say, let me say. But there's a lack of boldness you have when you don't know whether you'll find, because like, the money is beyond anything you've ever handled before. So you're like, there's no come. You're like, I shall hope they will give me. You won't think that way when it comes to your money. You don't hope the name will work. The name works. It has worked. It has produced you, so it has worked. Hallelujah. It has worked. He said, I will lay my hands on the sick. The sick shall recover. He said so. Because he that died that rose said, I will lay my hands. Is this word is final concerning sickness. I will lay these hands on the sick. The sick shall what? Recover. He shall recover. Hallelujah. So let me read this again. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, all power is given unto me where? In heaven and where? On earth. He couldn't tell them this in the four gospels. No, he couldn't. He could only say this in his resurrection. Why was he saying it? He was fulfilling what he had said in Matthew in chapter 16 before, and he said that, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom. That's what is repeated over there. These are the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound where? In heaven. He's repeating the keys of the kingdom, the power to preach the gospel. So when he says that all authority is given unto me where? In heaven and earth. Or the heaven and earth narrative in Genesis 1. I'm the fulfillment of it. I brought it to pass. I've united heaven and earth as a new creation. In that new creation, heaven and earth have come together. There's no distance again. So you cannot pray the realm of the spirit while you are physically upon earth, because you are also in the realm of the spirit. What has he done? He has fulfilled the scripture and said, so that where I am, there you may be what? Also. Say, I'm where he is now. Glory to God. I'm where he is now. Are you in Matthew chapter 28? So verse 19. Say, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now, most theologians agree that this particular phrase, which you will not find any other verse of scripture, was added likely through the Latin Vulgate. Someone says why? It is not supported by any other piece of scripture. It's not. So you cannot say, I was baptized in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. I went into the water, I came out of the water. But that's what we're taught. The person who baptized what they knew. So you won't find this written anywhere else. Somebody says why? Because remember, we just read in Luke 24, and that repentance, which many of you should preach in his name. In case you don't, in verse 18 again, he said that All authority is given unto me. He didn't say unto us. Unto me. In heaven and in earth. Look at verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. Not we are with you. It is I am with you always. Can you see that? I am with you always. Even unto the end of the age. John's Gospel chapter 14. I'm just confirming to let you see his name. Not in the name of the Father, the Son, his name. Yes, you can argue that the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost is the name of Jesus anyway. But really, it is in his name. Look at John chapter 14 and verse 12. Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Verse 13. And whatsoever you shall ask in whose name? In whose name? In whose name? In my name, that will I do, that the Father. So, the Father is different, I am different. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything where? In my name. What will happen? I will do it. Look at verse 26. Same John chapter 4, look at verse 26. So you can see he's talking about his name. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send, how? In my name. Now, what's another word for name again in this series of teaching? Reputation. The Father will send the Holy Ghost in my reputation or in the light of my accomplishment. In the light of what I've accomplished, the Father will send. So the Holy Ghost's presence today is because of the name of Jesus. Because of what he has what? Accomplished. So the minute you know the name of Jesus is not an appellation. It's not a pronunciation. It's not about spelling. It's an accomplishment. Is whatever the Father promised in the scriptures now fulfilled in a man. And that man's name is what? Jesus. So he says, the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, which the Father will send in my name. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatever I have said unto you. The same John chapter 15, look at verse 26. Chapter 15, verse 26. When the Comforter is come, whom the Father will send unto you, even the Spirit of truth which proceeds from the Father, shall testify of who? Testify of who? Of me. John chapter 16, look at verse 23. John 16, are you coming along tonight? All right. In that day you shall ask me nothing. Very rarely I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my reputation, in my accomplishment, what will happen? He will give it to you. Well, will the Father give it to you? Hebrews chapter 2. May you run up shortly so we can spend some time to pray. Hebrews chapter 2. Say, our boldness in the place of our, in the place of prayer. Our boldness in the place of prayer. I can bind, I can lose. Many souls will be saved through me because of the authority of the name of Jesus. I can lose men from the authority of darkness in the name of Jesus. Now, Hebrews chapter 2, I read from verse 1 quickly. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received the just recompense of reward, notice, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that had him? What has been spoken by the Lord? He's talking about those 40 days of teaching in his resurrection, and those who in commission to declare it. Now, those who were commissioned, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. Jump me to verse 9. We mustn't touch verse 5 and the others today. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Verse 10 is where we're going. For he became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory. See, I'm in glory now. I'm in the glory of God now. I'm in his resurrection. I'm where the glory is. The glory is where I am, and the glory is in me now. Notice, to make the captain, that's the word champion, pioneer of their salvation, perfect through his sufferings. In verse 11, for both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause is not ashamed to call them brethren. Now, brethren means those who came from the same womb. So the name of Jesus means I have access in prayer, I have answers in prayer, I will never hear a no in prayer. Let me say that again. The name of Jesus will mean he has brought many sons into glory. What does it mean to have many sons into glory? The one who sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all have one father. Wherefore, Jesus never suffered a prayer failure once. In fact, Jesus restrained himself from praying certain prayers. In Luke 24, when he was arrested, and they tried to defend him, Jesus looked at Peter, who brought out his sword. He said, I'll try to explain to you that my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my soldiers would have fought. He looked at the soldiers and he did not understand what he was saying also. He said, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. What does that mean? He knew that Satan was in charge. So Jesus never fought men. He knew the forces that were controlling them. What Jesus trying to say, my kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. It's a heavenly kingdom. He had tried to give them a taste of that kingdom when they came back from their missionary trip in Luke chapter 10, verse 17. And he returned with joy, saying that even the demons are subject to us in your name. What are demons? Spiritual beings. Beings you cannot see, but you can see their manifestation. And Jesus looked at them and said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power. I want you to see that I've given you authority over serpents and scorpions and over the power of the enemy, and notice about what enemies hurt you. How can you be going and you're announcing the kingdom of God is near and demons were cast out and people were getting healed? Why? It's a spiritual kingdom, not a physical kingdom. Nobody can physically cast out a demon. You spiritually cast out a demon with authority. So he wanted us to realize in bringing many sons unto glory, the one who sanctifies, who makes it a reality and makes it possible, that is through resurrection, he has separated us out of sanctification. And we who have been separated or sanctified, we all have one father. Say, we have one father. Say, God is my father, as is the father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he has brought us to his father. Remember, he is the everlasting founder. He has founded an everlasting kingdom. The government will be upon his shoulders. He has founded an everlasting kingdom, a kingdom of priests and kings that will never end and is forever. He has brought us into a fellowship with the father that is forever. So I pray with the consciousness, I'm forever his son. He's forever my father. He didn't suffer any prayer failure. I will not suffer prayer failures. Hallelujah. Yes, it's a place of growth and maturity. But your consciousness of that sonship, he brought you into a place where in his light, that's where you have light. In his standing, that's where your standing is. So that when you pray as him, the same way we pray. Oh, glory to God. I've not forgotten. In that same Acts chapter 9, the story of a woman called, I think it was called Dorcas, Tabitha. How many of you know that story? When she died, they ought to put her in the mug and make arrangements to bury her. But the saint said, this woman has been so kind. She's done many charitable works. So they heard Peter was around in the neighborhood, not too far from where they were. So they sent for Peter. Come quickly, don't delay. When Peter came, so that you will know that you learn some things by facts and observation. The same thing Peter had seen Jesus do in the house of Jairus. The same thing. He had seen Jesus do more than once in raising the dead. It's exactly the same thing Peter did. No wonder they said of Peter in chapter 4 of Acts, he and John, that they took knowledge of them that had been with Jesus. Behavior was the same, boldness was the same, conversation was the same. Peter came. The first thing Peter did, they were showing Peter the charitable works, how much of a blessing she was to them. They brought her garments at you. Peter put them all out and shut the door and knelt down and prayed and stood up. Tabitha, I say unto you, arise. And she arose. Hallelujah. No doubt. You think it was because Peter was perfect? No. The next chapter, which was a few years after, that was St. Peter that the Holy Ghost was trying to convince. What God has cleansed, did not call unclean. If you are waiting for you to become mature, people can use you. Maybe when the rapture is about to take place, you'll be usable. I don't know if you understand what I just said now. No, Peter had bias. Peter was an ethnic bigot. And God was using him. So if you are waiting, you think God will wait until you are. No, no, no. The reason why you are used is because he that sanctifies. And we were sanctified. We all have one father. Wherefore, it's not what? Ashamed. You know, not to be ashamed means he knows what he has done. He knows what is at stake. He knows what's at your back, at your foundation. He knows the power that is driving you. He knows the cleansing he has cleansed you. He can beat you and say, you are clean. You are clean. I said, you are clean. It can be, he said, you are clean. That means more often than not, we don't even see ourselves the way God sees us. Do we misbehave from time to time? Yes, we do. It doesn't change the fact that he cleansed us. So whatever the Father calls clean is what is clean. Glory to God. He used Peter to raise the dead. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Glory to God. He has brought many sons into glory. To the place of limitless possibilities. See, I'm in limitless possibilities. I'm in limitless possibilities. I'm in that place of limitless possibilities. Being justified by faith. I have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Say, I can expect God's glory in every area of life. Well, stand to your feet if you're expecting God's glory in every area of life. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. That means we're where we can expect God's glory to affect every... Begin to pray in the Holy Ghost tonight.